Krishna, Hare Bhusu Ravi, I feel not very good to interrupt this very nice kirtan. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pachamini Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paskatyari Sitani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Arvaita Gadadha Shivasai Gopatavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I would like to affectionately welcome you for this last session. It is a brief session, a very hopefully very nice session, where we conclude the retreat by giving you some good inspirations how to take this retreat home and do something so that you can continue nicely in with the insights that you have all made. At the outstart, I must explain a little bit of the structure of this retreat. I developed this structure after having done many Holy Name retreats and being asked to assist in kirtan events, etc., etc., with a certain insight. I made one insight that changed the format of the retreat substantially. I feel there are many things which we can learn only by doing them. For instance, swimming or sailing or even talking in public. You have to do this and do it again and again and again, and then you get the idea. And chanting the holy names is definitely one of these things. Why? Because when you surrender to the holy name, you actually sit there, you sing, and you try your best. The holy name reciprocates. Krishna is a person, Krishna is the holy name, and when he sees us trying sincerely, then the holy name is mostly pleased if we do it with the right motive. I'm saying mostly because who can put Krishna in a box? He has sometimes other ideas, but they are always for the best of the devotees. So therefore, we started, I believe, in America to have longer sessions of kirtan. It was clear to me at that time that I will I will not be so much in the front all the time. I will conduct the retreat, facilitate the retreat, be available for questions and answers, but I absolutely need devotees who can lead kirtans to assist me. And in America we had I always forget, did Amala Harinam, was he there? He was there. Amala Harinam came, Gauravani came, Achyuta Gopi came, and our own Manu came also with the whole family, all the gang, the different size of children. They were all there. they played mostly, but and together we all felt at the end something nice had come out, an immersive experience. I think you know what is an immersive experience. If I take a tea bag like this one or any other and I immerse it into the glass of water, the water will take on the qualities of the tea bag. So if I take the holy name and I chant more, 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 the holy name will spread its influence or his presence in my mind and in my heart. That was the idea. And then when we wanted to take up this experience also in Europe, and we discussed with Manu, we had done this in Radha Desh, and I think you will all agree with me, this is a very wonderful venue to do such things. It's really a wonderful place that offers a lot of facilities for each one of you. Then we also invited devotees, and I was very, very honored and happy that Madhava agreed to come. He somehow, even though it meant for him to run over the ocean from Ecuador to here, he did so. And then all of a sudden, unexpectedly, my physical trainer and and his esteemed brother Ananda Murti and Yogendra came, and then all of a sudden Syam Kishori, whom we could not, she was the last minute devotee, Kirtaniya came also, and Manu is of course here, and Surabhi is here. And then I really want to say I thank you very much that you came and you assisted, because what we wish is to create something which is beautiful, and it's a pioneer thing in this type of format, that is chanting and explanation, Krishna Katha and everything you saw. And pioneer things need to be started, and then more and more devotees hear about it from other devotees and say, you might also like to go, it helped me, and then the word spreads around. So thank you all for helping, and but a retreat would not work if you would not have come. Really, the retreat without retreatees, people who go on retreat and who are willing to go through everything, it doesn't work. So thank you. I am aware that a good portion had to leave already yesterday night or early this morning, but they will most probably hear that also. So everyone, thank you very much. I will now explain something very briefly, how to make best use of it. First, I will appeal on your intelligence. This will be a little tough, what you hear now. You will have to concentrate. Then I will give something very practical. And then there will be a surprise. Oh, I cannot say now, but something very, you will see. So what we have tried to present in three days is to bring some essential teachings from a guidebook on chanting into your awareness, and more important, into your practice. Earlier retreats, which I'm not the only one, there are many who give good, wonderful retreats But the first guidebook is Harinam Chintamani. That was written by Bhaktivinod Thakur, who, this is important for you to know, who collected first all available teachings of Haridas Thakur. Did Haridas Thakur ever sit down to write something? No. But there were many people who came in contact with the Namacharya, and who heard him explaining in very ecstatic way what he felt, what he the deeper insights he had when he was chanting the whole day. No, you, Prabhupada says, Haridas Thakur started early in the morning, before sunrise, and he chanted the whole day and night. And when the morning sun rose the next day, you know, he starts early in the morning, then 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, no breakfast, then lunch, then he goes for Madhukari, then he continues to chant. Sometimes he was so ecstatic, he was seen, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, on the banks of the Ganga, not sitting, but he was dancing, being moved by ecstatic love of Godhead. Namacharya. So then the night came, he chanted through the night. It's not much known when he slept, but somewhere he slept also, perhaps for 1.5 hours or so. And then in the morning, Prabhupada says he saw the sun rising. He said, "What? Already a day has passed? I have almost not chanted." Madhava Prabhu shared with me that one senior Prabhupada disciple, Brahmananda Prabhu, had told him that Prabhupada said one should learn to chant without getting tired. Do I say it correctly? One should learn to chant without getting tired. So Ravi, no sleep. No, definitely sleep. But I was hearing from my servant yesterday morning, I was just so tired. I did not a few times. He counted, it was 5 times. So I have still to learn a lot. So, so enthusiastic, so moved. Chanting should become so deep in us that it is energizing our subconscious mind, our conscious mind, and certainly also our physical existence. Yes. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur collected from the writings of those who met Haridas Thakur and who noted down what he said in these ecstatic, can we say, outburst in English, when it came out of his heart. And he collected all of this, and then he arranged this in a literary form where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas Thakur's questions, and what he says, what he answers, that is not Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that's Haridas Thakur. He was recorded at that time not with mobile phone, but with the ancient and well-working pen and paper, or not even paper, palm leaves or whatever they were writing on. So this, is it intelligible what I say? Can you understand? eyewitnesses who were with Haridas Thakur wrote down his statements, his what he said, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur collected all of this and brought his informations or brought this into the dialogue between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur. That's Harinam Chintamani, a guidebook on chanting the jewel of the holy name. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a sequel, that is a book which followed the first book, called Bhajan Rahasya. And I will just show you the structure of Bhajan Rahasya here. It is perhaps you can show the whole thing and then we can zoom in into this picture. Is it possible? No, it's not possible. This is you. I will send it to you. We will build a WhatsApp group. Maybe you can just look at this petal, which is a little bit to your right. You know, there's a center. Yes, there. Can you see Shri Shikshastaka 1? Can you see that?
Yes.
No, yes, yes, okay, good. So, the verse of the Shikshastakam has four, how many verses?
Eight.
Each single verse has one particular teaching, and if you go deeper, you arrive at certain levels. I will show you now. The first verse is Chetodar Panamajanam. We sang it together with Gokrishna. This verse, please go one level deeper, shows the seven wonderful results of chanting the holy name. You get, yes, no? Then please go one level deeper. This verse is about creating Shraddha Bhava, that is faith in the holy name, by telling someone, when you do this, this and this and this and this, the wonderful results, he says, wow, I'm also doing it. If I, for instance, tell you, I was with my physical trainer very faithful, very regularly, and I saw really I was less tired when I exercised, I became healthy and hearty, I became, and so on. And you hear me telling you this is the result. Then you get Shraddha. Perhaps I should not have prasadam eating as my only exercise. I should perhaps also walk and do something. Because your faith or your bhava, mood, your inclination has been risen by hearing the wonderful results. Good? This is the logic of this. Now, my dear devotees, we get still a level deeper. As I told you yesterday in the in the workshop, in the class, and even in the chanting in the evening, that it is good if you address Krishna. Hare Krishna, you know, you address, O Radha, O Krishna. In other words, you are with Krishna. You are Krishna conscious as you sing. So that Krishna consciousness has deeper levels. And one of the deepest level is the pastimes of Krishna. The first contact with the holy name, with Krishna, is his holy name, right? We chant his holy name. Second is his form, when we look at the deity, for instance. That is the Krishna's form. Then his qualities. And then finally his pastimes. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes to the bottom of the theology of the holy name. It's Krishna. He has a form. The name has a form, has qualities, very merciful, has even pastimes and so on. So there in the the Nishanta Leela, that's the pastimes at the end of the night, are brought to the, how do you say, in contact with the holy name. Please look at me now. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we all start with a name. Then we think of Krishna in his form. Then qualities, then pastimes. It is like I try to show you with this imperfect gesture, like the opening of a lotus. First the name, that is the budding state of Krishna consciousness. It is here, from here everything starts. And this name will go throughout your chanting. Yeah? You chant the name, nothing else. Like Madhava reminded us yesterday, he said, everything comes from the holy name. You do not require anything else. When he said everything, he meant everything. Everything is a term which has a lot of things in it. Everything it has in it. So you chant, then you become mindful of the name, of the form. That's why Ainda Prabhu and others who can understand what he was teaching, they like to chant always before a deity. Have you noted? They go and they face the deity. It's not a performance so much. It's a worshipful act of Krishna. That is the form. Then it continues more into the characteristics and the pastimes. So this is what is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching in the Bhajan Rahasya, and we were trying to lead you into this book. This is, of course, we have only started with level one of the Bhajan Rahasya. It gets deeper, but we wanted to be relevant to all of you. Good. Hare Krishna. This was the difficult part of the of this thing. In the beginning now, we will talk, in coming retreats, we will talk more about entering deeper levels, but it has always been our conviction and the conviction of those who assist me in either singing kirtans or who form the whole thing, that it should always be relevant for the devotees. Relatable and relevant. And therefore, yes, it's a journey. When we say everything is in the holy name, my dear devotees, it's everything. There's a lot about Krishna. It's a vast subject matter. Good. Now comes my last point. Remember, when we started out, we showed you a very nice image which inspires us for change. The butterfly starts as a caterpillar, that's the ugly thing on the left side, who is climbing up. Usually these caterpillars are on the ground, but here our caterpillar is making advancement, you know, he's going, he's progressing. Then they have a time when they build a cocoon, and then in that cocoon there is some intense work going on, a transformation into a beautiful butterfly. I always I want to show you more pictures of this, not today. Brahma Tirtha Who knows Brahma Tirtha Prabhu from you? Of you? Yeah? He is our... No, she had to go, I think. No, here. Syam Kishori can tell you. Brahma Tirtha Prabhu is a very wonderful person. Very thoughtful, very creative, but also a very joyful human being. He once said to me when I came last year or last, when were we in Alachua? 2 years ago? Last year even. Last year. So he said to me, Sachinanda Swami, I want to bring you to a place, but it's a surprise. I cannot tell you what it is. Just say yes. I said yes. This morning he took me to a butterfly observatorium. We entered through security doors because they need to remain inside, into a tropical paradise in where is this? In Alachua, yes. Or is now Gainesville. It's Gainesville. It was a great experience. There were many butterflies somewhere, really poor monster butterflies. I mean, not monster, the impressive size, you know. Very beautiful. I think they would have gotten the first prize if they would have gone on the catwalk in Paris. And they're so beautiful. Woo! And we could also see them in the different stages of development. And there I understood for the first time why Srila Prabhupada and many spiritual traditions, not just Vaishnava traditions, use the butterfly as an image of transformation and change. You change through the holy name from a conditioned soul into a perfected soul who is joining Krishna in his spiritual world. Now, to do this, you need to learn how to do it. There was a verse I wanted to share with you from the Bhagavatam, which says like this. I go directly to the... I heard that there are glasses which have two functions in one. One should learn. What should one learn? One should learn. Yeah, what exactly? Tell us. One should learn. Learn means you don't know it. You have to acquire knowledge about it. So, I'm sorry, but sometimes I have to be crystal clear in life. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them for pizza. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying, as devotees thus develop their loving friendship. This is on the basis of chanting, no? As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. Yes. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. So by learning to chant with devotees in a nice way, in a proper way, you develop friendships, loving friendships with devotees, and have so much happiness and satisfaction. And this in turn will help you to give up the anchor to material life and to encourage others. It's a beautiful verse which You might like to read the purport. If you wish to make a note, it's Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 3rd chapter, text 30. I repeat for the note takers, 11:30. One should learn. There's a learning spiral. How you can learn to chant very nicely. And we will show you the 5 points which you do when you learn something. Can you see? Yes. We have made it a little clearer. We had another diagram, but it was so small. This is very good. First, you should build an intention. I think I really want to do this. I want to chant the holy name. I want to become self-realized. I want to go to Krishna. It starts there. You must reflect and evaluate for this your present chanting habits. How are you doing? Are you chanting regularly? Are you chanting with deep absorption? Or do you tend to be perhaps irregular, distracted, or even lazy? And then think, how will your japa practice look 5 years from now if you don't change? No, this is very motivating. Then you enter right from there, the second stage. Yogindra, what is the second stage?
Contemplation.
Here you strengthen your motivation and commitment. You think about how you can increase your faith in chanting. My own suggestion to you is read books, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, and also hear from devotees who have had profound experiences with the holy name. When you are with devotees like this, you are very, very, you're getting motivation. I would love to ask Madhava soon to contribute. Perhaps you can tell us how Ayendra Prabhu took you under his wing when you were young and restless, and how, by seeing how he had served the holy name, something came in you. I think it's very inspiring. This is how you get motivated, by being with people who have this. And therefore, the Sangha was very, very good. You all had this motivation. And seek the association of those who have this genuine taste for chanting. So you are at this moment not doing anything. You are just approaching the subject matter slowly. The next, stage three, Yogendra Prabhu?
Preparation.
Oh, actually, I should ask you to say more than a word, you know. Define a clear and specific goal for you. It should be measurable, achievable, time-bound. It should have action steps in it. For instance, here, when you go now from here, don't just fall back into your old habit and never progress from where you are. Don't stagnate in your life. But think, oh yes, I was there. Well, why don't I? Okay. Oh my God, I should prepare myself. Good, well, for me, who is very slow, I started to think, well, I have to chant anyways. This is my promise to Prabhupada. I'm not going to break it. It's 16 rounds minimum a day. And actually, later I learned he wanted them to be chanted inoffensively. okay, I will try to always, when I chant, bring my attention back when I catch it wandering. That's how it started with me. I said, this is what I shall do. I try it. And this simple practice has stayed with me up to this day. I'm trying. My dear devotees, I'm also thinking, for instance, Madhava brought me a mango from Ecuador. I've never in my life seen a mango from Ecuador, much less tasted one. So when I was chanting one morning, in my mind all of a sudden I thought about that mango from Ecuador. And I dwelt on it. I said, I hope it matures nicely. I put it where the sun can come on the mango and help it mature, because the more mature it is, the better it is. That is known. The more ripe it is, no? And I continued thinking about mango ripening processes. My mind went to Bengal, where there's a whole knowledge of how about ripening mango. Privately, I can tell you if you are interested. It's substantial knowledge. And then I thought, oops, you are chanting. Bring your mind back now from, although mangoes from Ecuador. I do not know up till now, but I assume they are nice. But it's not about mangoes from Ecuador now. It's about Krishna and his holy name. And then I brought it back. I wanted to give you a practical example, and it's always very important for me as a facilitator to I told you in the beginning, I feel slightly uncomfortable on such a bombastic seat. Because Trinadapi has to be also practiced. We have to actually practically learn humility. No, so anyways, preparation. You may learn to knead yourself. You may need to make adjustments to your lifestyle. Or, for instance, when you wake up, you leave your distraction monster locked up somewhere so that it can't disturb you. I'm speaking of the mobile telephone. And you may have to change your environment. I always tell devotees, make a sacred space in your home. Make one little altar where you are. Maybe you share the apartment with others. So, but you have a room. Try to put some holy, some like an altar where you can sit down to chant. Where you have pictures of Gonitai, of Radha and Krishna, of Nrisimha Dev perhaps, and of Srila Prabhupada and your own spiritual master. Try to make a holy corner in your room, a holy thing in your room. Wherever you are, that is very nice. And even if you have many things which you do in your busy lives, when you enter your room and you see that holy corner, you will be reminded, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. It's very, very good. So, preparation, lifestyle, environment, and mentally prepare yourself. And only after going through these three initial stages, first you really have to get a desire. And my dear devotees, I personally have seen in my life, my desire was very small, until I came into a spiritual crisis. I told you in the beginning what that was, and then I could understand. No, I need to do something, and so on. Because intention and then contemplation. Because I feel when you just have an intention, okay, I will chant better. that's not strong enough. You must contemplate. What does it mean? for me to chant better, no? And so on. And then make some preparations, adjustments, and so on. And then go into action. That's when you sit down, where you put your plans into action and reevaluate once a week how you're progressing. How is it going? Revise your plans and your goals. Maybe you said, I will chant 16 rounds, and you found out, whoa, if I'm honest, but I'm never honest with devotees because they will judge me and I don't want to be judged. But if I'm honest to myself, I'm not, I really have to reset myself. I have to approach this because remember, you want to chant good rounds, offenseless rounds, no? And then I would recommend celebrate your milestones. This comes from psychology. When you celebrate your successes, somehow they sink into your mind. I do know, like now you have done a japa retreat, I would say celebrate it, go to the bakery, eat buns, and so on. Then you will say, then you have rewarded yourself, and your system says, wow, if I do this, I get a reward. Somewhere in us, there are these, we are still children. We are not only children, there are many other aspects to our personality. Like yesterday, for me, the hard part of the retreat was over. I celebrated it. And the way I celebrate is by reading. I gave myself enough time to read. There's a new book on Lord Nityananda, and I happen to be very interested in Lord Nityananda. I was going up till the, when the book fell out of my until I fell asleep in proper English terms. Yes, but some of us like to eat. Good, no problem. Celebrate, and your system will say, good, I got a reward. I'm going to do this more. Stage 5, and this is a very, very important, is I will not ask Yoginda because he can read so nicely. And it's one word, maintenance. The beauty of Krishna consciousness is that you can always go further. There's always more to discover. Never get stale. But if you don't maintain what you created and fall back, then you can't get there. Imagine a house, a big house where there are very various stories. And in each story, is it a story? Is it, or is it level? Holds surprises. So you go by steps up. There's no lift in this particular house. So you have gone perhaps one flight of stairs and have reached the first story. Now, when you again, when you don't stay there, if you don't maintain the first level, but you go backwards, then you can't see what's on the second level. So you have to maintain the first level, then you have to move forward, etc. The example is so simple that we can all easily understand. So maintenance is very, very important. I like to be with one example. I've learned physical exercises, the best one I've ever seen in my life. And I now, if I don't want to come back to the unhealthy state where I started the exercises, I will have to maintain what I have reached so far. Because there's a law in this world, the law of diminishing quality. A house, if you don't maintain it, it will break down. Those of you who have to take care of houses know. If you don't constantly put attention to it from time to time, at least, it will deteriorate. Your health, if you don't pay attention to it, will deteriorate. Everything, and your spiritual practice will also deteriorate if you don't maintain it. So, therefore, throughout the steps, make sure that your motivation remains high. Because this is how we will end. Where focus goes. You can remember it without seeing it. Where focus goes, energy flows. If your focus goes to the holy name and to do this, there will be energy like anything, and you will really work up your practice. One moment. Yes, I would like now Madhava to address you all. Would you be comfortable to please sit here so that everyone can see you? We can give the microphone. Govinda, can you please adjust the microphone? Yes.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Well, first of all, I'm very grateful to Sachinanda Maharaj, Manu, and all the devotees here who have accepted me to be part of this wonderful retreat. The feeling of gratitude is so important, because without the mercy of Vaishnavas, without the mercy of the devotees, we cannot chant the holy names. We can try, but without their mercy, it's very difficult. So that's so important to remember. You know, we might think we sing very nicely on the harmonium, you know, we play a very nice mridanga. But all these come because Srila Prabhupada went to America and sat down in a park in New York. That's why we're here. So this is so important to remember. And for me, one of my teachers, one of my main teachers, Ayendra Prabhu, really put so much time and effort into someone who was very stubborn. I was 18 years old when I joined the 24-hour kirtan. I grew up in a family of devotees. I got my first mridanga when I was 5 years old. But 18 is like the prime age of your life, where the mind is uncontrolled and very wild. And one of the main ingredients in kirtan, in chanting the holy names, is humility. And I didn't have that at all. I'm still working on that. It's not easy. And I remember one day Ayendra Prabhu came to my room, knocked on my door and said, Madhava, let's go clean the toilets. I looked at him and I thought he was joking. And he said, no, let's go clean the toilets. And this is the brahmachari toilets in the ashram. You can use your own imagination. And I said, no, I never cleaned toilets ever in my life, not even at home. And he just looked at me and he left the room. And I saw through the mosquito net, the door, I saw him leaving his room with a gamsha, a gallon of acid, and some gloves. And it just gave me 1 minute to think, okay, here I am, this 18-year-old kid, you know, just full of myself. And here's this Prabhupada disciple, you know, who has so much taste in chanting the holy names, willing to literally getting his hands dirty, cleaning the toilets. So I just put my gamsha on and ran and joined him. And it was, you know, the best 3-4 hours in my life. You know, Ayanda Prabhu, while cleaning the toilets, he was chanting. It was so blissful. And I never done this in my life, but I felt like layers of impurities being cleansed just by doing this seva. So when we chant the holy names, like Srila Prabhupada says, you know, what is the meaning of the holy name? My dear Lord, please engage me in your service. So many times, you know, we do kirtan and we think, okay, this is our service. But someone comes and said, oh, Prabhu, can you please clean the temple or clean the toilet? And we're like, no. Kirtan is my service. But what are we asking for? We're asking for service. And when service comes, we refuse. So this, we should be very, very conscious of what we're trying to achieve. You know, because chanting the holy names, it's easy, but it's also not so easy. You know, Prabhupada says, you know, we can chant the holy names and get Krishna prema just by chanting one mantra. But is that happening to us? For many of us, it might take many lifetimes. I'm just talking, you know, for myself. But another instance was the night shift that I've been doing in Vrindavan. For 1 year, I chose to do what we call the graveyard shift, from 10 o'clock at night to 4:30 in the morning, 6.5 hours straight. And in those days, you know, the 24-hour kirtan was not, there weren't so many devotees. We were struggling with manpower. So most of the time I was just alone at night. And my last meal was just a glass of milk and some puff rice at 8 o'clock. And 10 o'clock my shift would start. And it would start very nicely because I just had a glass of milk. That was my dinner. And around 1 o'clock, you know, I would hear these noises in my stomach, these growls. And I would look at the clock, it would be like 1 o'clock in the morning. I would close my eyes, you know, try to ignore those growls and try to focus on the holy names. I would open my eyes, half an hour later, it would still be 1 o'clock. I'm like, oh, what's happening? When is it going to be 4:30? But then I realized, because I was not focused, I was not connecting on a deep level with the mantra, with Krishna himself. I was not sincerely calling out his names. So time took forever. But there was those days, those moments, when the mind was trying to sincerely call Krishna. Those 6.5 hours would just fly by. And in those days, I knew only one melody. I don't know many melodies on the harmonium anyways, but I knew only one melody. So I was stuck with one melody for 6.5 hours. And when you're 18, this is such a challenge because the mind is so wild. It's, especially at night, it's like running all over the place thinking of prasadam. Sometimes, you know, one of the very few days, you know, one of my Gurukuli friends would come and sit with me in kirtan. And he would also be hungry because he was a big guy. And I told him, okay, you wait here, you chant, I'm just going to come. So I went to the Mahaprasadam booth at the back, and there was this broken table. It was this marble table. It was cracked in half. So I would lift, it was heavy, I would lift it up, put it on the other half, and underneath there was this broken plywood. So I would lift the plywood, and underneath the plywood there was these cakes that the Mataji was going to sell in the morning. So I would take the whole cake, put back the cover, and then I would tell my friend, go eat half of the cake. Then I would chant. So we'd keep the mantra going. The mantra never stopped. But we had to survive. So the next morning, usually after Mangal Arati, 6.5 hours, we would stay up for Mangal Arati and then chant some rounds and then go take rest. So I would stay up for Guru Puja. And just before Guru Puja, this Mataji would come at 7 o'clock and open the Mahaprasad booth. So I'd be there standing, watching her. And she would open and cake disappeared. And I'm like, oh, what happened, Mataji? And she'd be like, oh, I just put 2 cakes there and 1 disappeared. And I'm like, oh, must be this Bengali brahmachari is the pick them up. But the whole point is to really be focused. This chanting, it has everything in it. There's 3 words, Hare Krishna and Rama, is so precious. And we need to learn how to fall in love with this mantra, because this is Krishna himself. And the whole process starts, like Satchananda Maharaj always says, the quality of our chanting depends on the quality of our hearing. We listen with our physical sets of ears, but we also listen with the spiritual sets of ears found in the heart. This is what we're really trying to develop, that hearing from the heart. And also one very important point, I was Ayendra Prabhu's mridanga player for many years, and I thought I was the best mridanga player. And every day for like one whole year, Ayendra Prabhu would call me to his room after kirtan, and he would lecture me. I mean, his lecture would be like 2-3 hours. I was 18, 19. And he would lecture me. One day he asked me, he said, oh, can you play better mridanga than Lord Shiva? And I looked at him, I said, oh, of course not. And he knew where to push those ego points that it would really hurt, especially when you're 18. And he would push those points. And many times I would argue with him because I was, I didn't agree. But many times I would just close my eyes and I knew he was right, and I would just cry. And he said, your mridang playing is zero. It's zero if you don't put a one before it, and that one is the chanting of the holy names. So this is all the mridang players and kartal players and whoever is playing instruments. Krishna doesn't need, there's playing, but Krishna needs, someone who's really sincerely trying to call out for him. So that chanting is the most important. Whether we're playing mridanga, whether we're playing any instruments, chanting the holy names, chanting the holy names, chanting the holy names. There's no other way. Ayendra Prabhu taught by his example. He sat down for many, many hours and chanted. And in his room is like, it's a different world by itself. He had more than 3,000 shilas It's beautiful, Nittai Satchisutta, Gaur Nittai deities. And his puja would take like 3, 4, 5 hours of puja. And then he would read Srila Prabhupada's books for many hours. And this is what really gave him the conviction to chant the holy names. So chanting is not a sentimental thing. It's about really understanding why we're chanting. That's the main thing. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah. Very nice, no? Yeah. Yes. Very nice. Oh, yeah. You speak so well. No, really, I did not know. I mean, in conversation, yes, but very good. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you very much. We will now come to our surprise. Oh, I did not. One moment, please. Also, yes. Ich dachte ganz zum Schluss. Ja. Ladies and gentlemen, please bring your hands together to a massive round of applause for our drummer.
So much more important than hearing the holy name. is this acceptable? Is this normal after so many years? Would Prabhupada be pleased? I think not. He said the process was gradual, but gradual doesn't mean slow. He guaranteed if we follow strictly the process he gave us, we will directly see progress in ourselves as tangibly as bhakti prashna bhava virakti, the satisfaction of eating a big feast. He said it continually throughout his purports and lectures. He wanted us to be 24 hours absorbed in Krishna by our sadhana and our service. Not a moment without thinking of Krishna, he would say. That is what he expected from his followers. And while I have often been fully absorbed in many services with ISKCON, but not simultaneously absorbed in my accompanying sadhana, how often was my serious attitude for service a substitute for my lack of seriousness for my sadhana? Am I at least becoming a little more humble over the years, or was I actually more humble when I joined? When I joined, I looked at everyone with such respect, but as I got to know the devotees up close, that changed. And even back then, my idea of humility was questionable. I would preach to myself, okay, be humble, be humble, be humble. That's what Lord Chaitanya said, Trinadi. Straw in the street, straw in the street, straw in the street. No, lower than the straw in the street. How can I be lower than the straw in the street, I would think? Straw in the gutter? No, I have to think about that. I understood humility to mean you fold your hands and you all say, Prabhu, Prabhu. I was so humble that even thinking myself 1/10,000 the size and tip of a hair was too big. I knew I must be even smaller than that. And if Krishna Das Kaviraj says himself to be lower than the worm in stool, then I was lower than the worm in the stool of the worm. More taller than a tree? Well, I was never sure tree had to put up with all that I had to put up with from the other devotees. But I was pretty sure more taller than an ash or a beech tree, maybe more taller than an oak tree. But I didn't think I was more taller than a banyan tree. They must be super tall, they've been so big and old. But I was doing pretty good there, I thought. Then I came down a few notches in my ideas of myself. My gradual build-up of offences to the devotees leading to some inevitable fall-downs put me in my place a bit more. But I still had to understand the difference between learning true humility and humiliation at the hands of my own false ego. How have I let my faith become so uncertain? For years, I just copied others and that seemed okay for a while. But now I need to find my own inner voice. No more ritualistic bhakti, but with genuine awareness that it's Krishna I want to please. No more preaching of points that I know are true, but are not true for me. No more sitting back on my initial faith in Krishna consciousness, but pushing myself out of my spiritual comfort zone into newer and deeper understandings. And please, please, no more running around with my police hat on, looking to see who's not perfect in the many elements of bhakti, but be happy to see anyone even try to come closer to Krishna by rendering some service. What of my japa? I remember before I joined, I did chant, but was never that fixed in my number. But that changed, of course, as soon as I joined the temple. But then why, over the years, did I give into long periods when my japa was so lazy? even justifying with that one quote from Prabhupada that you can make up your rounds the next day. Too often that was used to simply justify distraction by important activities. I'm forgetting that japa is my first and permanent service to the Lord. And when not lazy, I was utterly surrendered to the state of grossly inattentive japa, thinking attentive japa a fantasy only for pure devotees and not neophytes like me. Oh, and I would get so distracted by ISKCON stuff, like the fall down of the jiva. Finally, I realized that every time I picked up my bead bag, I would fall down to inattentive japa. That was the only fall down I needed to worry about. But ever since the Govardhan retreat, the wonderful association of the Govardhan retreat, I have felt the budding of a new conviction that japa is my first and most important service. There is no crisis in ISKCON that can compare to the crisis of my permanently inattentive japa. I can still hear, reverberating through my heart, that sound of so many sincere devotees together calling out to Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
After the retreat, I had to re-examine my whole understanding of who Krishna really is and who I was. And dogma now had to become truths that I first and foremost applied to myself. Why is my relationship with him such a vague idea? That is still not more than a philosophical concept that I am a spirit soul and his eternal servant. That's very good, but seriously, do I think that's enough to get me back into Goloka Vrindavan and run to the beautiful forest of Vrindavan playing games with Krishna or to assist him in nightly meetings? Because that's the goal. That should be my goal, and I need to be real clear on that, and nothing else should distract me as a goal, like position, titles, or respect in ISKCON. I need to change. I need to believe that change is possible, and it's not too hard. I just need to want to change and be willing to change, even if it means in ways I did not expect. No diamond is ever forged without being cut many times. I've had some moments where I feel some direct experience of the Lord's presence, generally only in kirtan, but that would not be followed up with the same experience in my japa. So were those experiences in kirtan really mine, can I do to improve? More serious sadhana, more japa retreats, more hearing the Srila Prabhupada about what is really important and what is really the goal. Pure love for Krishna, free from all ideas that love exists anywhere but in Krishna. I've always pushed myself to be better, but the best is still out of my vision. Where is the love? And how can I grow to love Krishna and Sri Vrindavan Dham unless I hear about them and only them? With less WhatsApp and YouTube, more Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hear about the Chintamani nature of every tree and blade of grass there in Vrindavan. Hear about the super sweet dealings of Krishna and his intimate associates like his parents, his friends and his lovers. And to hear again and again how beautiful the Lord's Shyam Sundra form is, his lightning like dhoti, his all-attractive smile with his bimber red lips, his hair decorated with so many natural jewels and fruits from the Vrindavan forest and Govardhan hill. But all this starts with Harinam. What was it I heard Srila Prabhupada say this morning?
That a sleeping man can be awake by vibration of sound. Similarly, the spirit soul, although it is now overpowered by this material bondage or material condition, that spiritual consciousness can be revived by this transcendental vibration. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And for practical example, we are experiencing, and some of you, now this is Sanskrit word, some of you do not know.
Krishna says, and we say to Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna,
I be in it, and Krishna is the Supreme Lord. We are addressing Hare Krishna, all the energy of the Lord, all the Lord. Please accept Vidasa. We have no other prayer. Please accept Lord Chaitanya Prabhu, that we should simply cry and we should simply pray for accepting that. So this vibration is simply a cry for addressing the Supreme Lord, requesting me, please accept, please accept. This prayer was offered by Lord Chaitanya.
My dear Lord Krishna, please accept me. My dear
Lord Krishna, please accept me.
My dear Lord Krishna, please accept me.
My dear Lord Krishna, please accept me.
Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Something is with us. Yes? Okay. I have no power cut in my voice. So thank you very, very much, Syamananda Prabhu. That was really art, no? Did you see how through the content was very elevated content, but through the artful presentation of the gestures, the movements, the moods which played in your face, we were drawn into this elevated discussion or the self-dialogue, this inner dialogue. Really, you have grown an empire state beyond the previous programs. Very thoughtful. You were also touched at times? Yes, we were touched, and we were... I'm delighted, but we want we need to come to the close of this program. But really, here I think we can all see in bhakti, theater is done by devotees. Not only Krishna Leelas, which are shown on the stages of Vrindavan, all types of theaters, because bhakti is sweet. Bhakti is addressing all the parts in us, also those, and especially those who are with emotions, and theater, good theater can touch these parts and elevate our thoughts. Very nice, very... Woo. Perhaps you know. Originally, we had planned to have a drama. Drama. I think, is this a drama? Will we call it like this? A drama? Yes. Like every day, but then Syamananda said, "No, I want to see." What is there in the presentations? What moods are there? And draw from them and then do something like a summary or a conclusion. And I think your high aim was well reached, very well reached. Thank you so much. Wow. We will now come to the close. I will request Bhanu Nandini to show us, show you how you can continue. These are simple things, and how, if you are interested, you might like to stay in contact. Please, you will have to talk a little loud. Is it a permanent power cut? This doesn't work at all. Oh yeah. Oh.
Yes. Yeah, thank you, Shananda Prabhu, one more time. I don't see him. Ah. Thank
you. Yeah, you look a little different.
You really made us like cry. Also, many of us had tears in our eyes, and for me, certainly, I will forever remember, you know, you holding the japa in the hands and we understanding that this is our greatest gift, and we forget it, actually. Being distracted, so thank you so much. And thank you, Madhava, also for really very sharing good. From your heart your experiences. And it's also very moving and touching. And of course, thank you, everyone, for coming and participating. Because, like Maharaj said in one of his sessions, this retreat, there is Maharaj, there is Madhava, there is the team. But actually, this retreat would not take place if there was not all of you. So you really we many times spoke among each other. We're a great audience. We were so sincere and so deeply chanting and really giving your best. So this was very, very encouraging for everyone who was doing the service in the background. And one of you said, oh, this was so wonderful, but now we go home. What do we next? And for this end, Satchinandan Swami has created a training letter, that's how he calls it. It's a type of a newsletter where all the main points from the sessions are summarized, and we will be sending them out to you once a week for 4 weeks. So in this way, you can continue to, you know, still remain connected, and especially now, when you just go home, you're very fresh and you have a lot of memories. So just try to apply the things which you will get once a week, because if you apply yourself to them, you can really nicely build up. And over 4 weeks, as we know, this should be a time when we can create a new habit, or we can apply something new and it can become ingrained in our consciousness. So this is something that you're going to get. We wanted to show you a QR code where you can please sign or register to a WhatsApp group where you will receive all those training letters there. And because we cannot show it, you can just scan it from the laptop after the class. Or I can leave the laptop at the exit and you can just scan it quickly. And then also we are going to send you once a month a newsletter where Satchinandan Swami's teachings, recent teachings are summarized. It's only 2 pages with images, so it's very nice. You can always cancel if you don't wish to receive, but mainly the devotees like to stay in contact. And also we wanted to tell you that in January, I think this is Manu's point, but we have a great festival here. It's called Radha Desh Mellows. And I know that Manu is always extending his invitation to everyone. And also you can go on YouTube, like youtube.com/radha-mellows, and there you can find these amazing recordings of the best of kirtans that are really taking place within our society, and you can listen to them. They're really high class recordings. So yes, and the last point is we have recorded all these sessions live. We have streamed them, and we have created a YouTube folder which is called Holy Name Immersion Radha Desh on Satchinandan Swami's YouTube channel. And there you can revisit, if you like, the lectures, or you can also listen to the kirtans. Not as good quality as Radha Desh Mellows recordings, but they're really quite well. So this much from our side and the team. So thank you so much, and please stay in touch. And yeah, hopefully come next year. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.